Hello, it is February 3rd, 2017. You're looking live at Houston, Texas. This is episode 630 of the Will Leach Experience Podcast on Sports on Earth. I am the aforementioned Will Leach. Thank you for spending part of your day with me. It is time for our big Super Bowl preview podcast. I'm in Houston. I generally, when I go to any major sporting event, because I'm a nerd, I sneak into college basketball games. So I saw Houston Central Florida last night. I will see Texas Southern play Prairie View A&M on Saturday. And then on Sunday, I will see another somewhat discussed. One of the reasons I'm very excited to have my guest today, who's sitting here right with me in the media lounge here, Doug Farrar, is that we get so caught up. Thank you for coming on, by the
way.
Sure,
of course.
One of the things I really enjoy about your work is a thing that we all, of course, forget when we get caught up in the madness of the Super Bowl, which is that there's a game at
there
the end. I think it generally gets
rumors
locked
to that effect. So confirm there is a game.
So, how many Super Bowls have you been to now?
This is my sixth covering.
So, I've kind of gone through a little up and down with the Super Bowl, and that like the first couple of years I went, I found the corporatism of it so oppressive as to be difficult to enjoy myself. I was at the Super Bowl in Glendale when the Patriots and Giants played,
yeah.
And that the end of that week I was still desperate at that time. And the end of that week I was like, I hate sports. Like I don't like sports anymore. And then the game happened. I was like, oh right,
yeah.
I totally like sports. Do you find yourself? Is it for someone, particularly someone like you, that's so oriented, that's so focused on the nuts and bolts of this stuff? Do you find it this week hard, or these 2 weeks harder to kind of dig through all the crap to get to the actual games?
It's actually a ton easier for me because I know that, especially with Bleacher Report and what I'm doing now, it's all tape.
Right.
So I'm not writing a think piece on
what this means for Brady,
Hussein
right.
Abdullah, or anything else.
Right,
although
right,
I miss doing those sorts of human interest stories and futures and whatnot. Like media night, I'm talking to the position coaches.
Right.
I talked to Dante Scarnecchia for 15
yeah.
minutes for a story that's coming out tomorrow. And because everything else is so woo-woo, Lady Gaga, whatever,
right.
I have a really open lane to do what I need to do. And, you know, I was just talking to Willie McGinnis about Atlanta's pre-snap motion. You know,
right.
So for me...
And the players, of course, I'm sure, are very appreciative.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
I was talking to Sean O'Hare at the NFL Network thing, for 15 minutes about offensive line coaches and how, you know, you teach things and how you block things. So for me, it's actually quite easy because I come in having a pretty good idea what I'm asking, who I'm asking, and where I want to go with it. So for me, it's an endless buffet.
Of course, and I forgot to mention this at the beginning, but of course, Doug writes for Bleacher Report. You very briefly wrote for us at Sports Center, doing great stuff for Bleacher Report. The head, you know, the head scout.
The NFL scout. The NFL 1000 project, which will continue into the offseason.
So when you, obviously we've all been watching these teams kind of merge together, their kind of paths to come here. When was there a matchup, just as a nuts and bolts guy, that you wanted more than this one, or does this feel like is it what would have been the most fascinating matchup that was a realistic Super Bowl matchup, or is this it?
This is it.
And why is that?
Kyle Shanahan versus Bill Belichick and Matt Patricia. That is Gary Fisher and Bobby Fischer and Gary Kasparov.
Right. That's
yes.
it.
Because the Falcons do so much pre-snap in moving guys around, forcing your linebackers to stretch, forcing your cornerbacks to come up or move away. They really want to win the numbers game. And who better at that, who better to adapt and adjust to that than Belichick, who has seen everything, has drawn it up. You know, I'll see your running back motion, I'll do a big nickel. This, to me, is the most fascinating matchup that could have happened. And conversely, you have New England's offense, which versus, to me, is the underreported story of the Super Bowl, which is how much Atlanta's young defense has improved exponentially in the second half.
And they've got, like, what, three rookies in the start?
They're starting three rookies, and Brian Poole, the undrafted rookie
right.
corner, he's a slot guy, also blitzed Aaron Rodgers a ton. First team since the 81-49ers to start three defensive rookies in a Super Bowl. And I was, you know, I'm from Seattle. I was
right.
there
right.
Covering team 2010, 2011 when Earl Thomas and
right,
Sherman,
right, right,
all those guys came on, and they were fast and they were aggressive and they were flowing to the ball, but they weren't always assignment correct. In the last eight games of this season through the playoffs, Deion Jones, Keanu Neal, all these guys, they figured it out. The light went on. And that to me is, I mean, I know you want to predict some later, so I
won't. No, we'll get to that, yeah.
I won't go there yet, but that's why the Falcons will be in this. If it was just offense versus offense, I'd give the edge to the Patriots, but it's going to be, I think, a very tightly contested game because Atlanta's defense has come up so much. So wherever you're looking, the matchups to me are really compelling.
What is, I mean, people were not sure they wanted Shanahan to come back this year, coming into the season. What changed?
I'm not sure.
Or did anything change? Is anybody healthy?
You know, they got healthy, and I think, I mean, the way Kyle wants to run an offense, it's a lot of quarterback motion. It's, if you're the left tackle in an Atlanta or in Kyle Shanahan offense, you're in good shape because they're always rolling right. It's a ton of boot action. Get the quarterback moving. Matt Ryan had never really done that.
Yeah.
I don't think he was comfortable with it in year one. He's much more comfortable with it in year two. Even in the first half of this season, they signed Alex Mack, the center.
Who's been a huge thing.
Great player, but in the first 5 or 6 weeks, when I was grading centers for NFL 1000, I'm looking at him going,
This is not working.
Quick inside zone, quick outside zone, getting to the second level and hitting that inside linebacker, he was whiffing all over the place. And then he adapted. And so to me, it's the Falcons are here because of the second half of the season. I think on both sides of the ball, everything was clicked.
So when you look at, because really for the last, it was funny, it was just 2 weeks ago we were talking about how amazing Rodgers and the Packers offense had been for the second half of the season. And then there was just a little knock, like, you know, Ryan has been just as good.
Ryan has actually been the more prolific quarterback in just about every category than Rodgers, even during the second half of the season.
When Rodgers was on his supposed to
be. And the thing about the Packers, that's an execution offense. Mike McCarthy does his quarterback no favors with scheme. And eventually an execution offense will get trumped by a scheme defense. That's what happens.
And that's what happened. So, you know, one of the exciting things about watching the Falcons is they remind me, of course, of watching that great show on Turf Team.
Sure.
Like, how does anybody stop these guys?
Right.
The way they've been running.
Right.
But, of course, the team that stopped them was Belichick. Now,
yep.
I mentioned that earlier, and someone was like, well, yeah, if they just hold and grab. That's always the theory about the Belichick.
Mm-hmm.
One of the ways he would stop the Rams back then. It's a different game now. That's a harder thing to do. What does Belichick do? Is it a timing thing? Is it a disrupt the rhythm? What do you think his best route is to slow down and mess them up?
Well, the Rams were slightly different. I mean, they would motion Falk out of the backfield into the slot. These guys, I mean, they'll take their backs, whether it's Campbell or Coleman. They'll have like a two-back set and DeMarco the fullback too. DeMarco doesn't run. He's a pass catcher.
Right.
They'll motion their fullback out to
right,
the slot.
Right, right.
They'll do all kinds of crazy stuff. And so what I know Greg Cosell and Ron Jaworski in the game to change a game called the Bullseye Game Plan, good luck with that.
Right, right.
You can't, and especially now when we've had such a, when Belichick did that, it was at a time when the NFL was moving away from the big aggressive cornerback. You remember a bunch of guys like Rondé Barber who were 5'10 and just running around in cover two. These days,
those people aren't around.
Well, because of the success of Seattle's defense over the last 6 or 7 years, it's a copycat league. So now everyone has a big, aggressive number one corner and their number two guy and the slot corner. It's an age of specialists. So I don't think that works. What I think is going to happen, and New England has, they morph from 3-4 to 4-3 every 3 to 4 years. They're a total 4-3 team now. And what they do is what's called big nickel, which the Giants have run for a long
time, which is three
safeties.
Right.
And it's Harmon and McCourty. Harmon can play deep. McCourty is awesome as a deep safety. And then Patrick Chung is sort of the safety linebacker. I'll use the Deion Buchanan reference for you.
But,
But that's what he is. He's sort of the missile underneath. I would not expect if they're in their base 4-3 with three linebackers more than 15% of this game, I'd be shocked. I think their base is going to be nickel, and they'll play some dime.
So, and the idea, when you look, I'm curious because, you know, the thing on Brady's going to the other side of the ball. The thing on Brady, of course, I think it's less a weakness that Brady has and more just, you know, desperately trying to find something that you can find being bad about him is the idea of pressuring him. Is that a fallacy? Like, he seems when I've watched, certainly no quarterback likes to have pressure, but he doesn't seem to handle it any worse than he handles anything.
Yeah, Rodgers actually is better under pressure. rusher than he is in the pocket,
which is insane, right?
Yeah, actually, Russell is too. So
it seems almost like a compulsion.
Well, I think, just to digress for 1 second, Rodgers and Russell Wilson, both in offenses where their coordinators do them no favors, they have to run outside the pocket and wait for everything to break down and improvise to make gains.
Do you think, just kind of off on this tangent, do you think, I mean, have they been in systems that have, would they feel handcuffed? Would they feel like if they come in with a Shanahan who's got like a specific system and you're doing this, would Rodgers work in a Shanahan system like that?
Russell, in Kyle Shanahan's offense, Russell would throw for 5,000 yards. Aaron Rodgers would throw for about 7,000 yards.
Okay.
It wouldn't even be fair.
Right.
Because oh my God, I have route concepts for the first time in 5 years. Right. Don't get me started on Mike McCarthy.
All right. All right.
Is it a fallacy? No. And I'll give you a name to watch for Sunday. Brady Jones.
Okay.
Defensive tackle, second-year guy, some out of Clemson, somehow went in the fifth round. I had a high first, like high second-round grade on him. 6'1", 290, and apparently short defensive tackles aren't good enough to be drafted high in the NFL, despite Geno Atkins and Aaron Donald.
And so many other, and right.
If you watch the NFC Championship game and you saw what he did to Green Bay's left guard, Don Barkley, it was basically a snuff film. New England has a guy, Joe Thuney, is a rookie, had a rough game against Pittsburgh, and Jarrett is a leverage monster. He gets under your pads, and he'll either just move out of the way to the quarterback because it's so quick, he'll just push you back. The kind of pressure Brady doesn't like is the pressure that comes right at him. Justin Tuck 1 and Justin Tuck 2.
Right.
Because he can step side to side, but what he wants to do is step up in the pocket, scan the field again, make the quick throw. If you keep him from doing that and he has to move out of the pocket, at this point in his career, he's not a good deep thrower when he's what I would call pressure horizontal. That's when he can be at the Texans did that too.
Right. Yeah, and I mean, that was probably his worst game of the year.
And he was kind of mortal there. Right. So. The Denver game wasn't that great.
Right.
The Seattle game wasn't that great. So if you can get them right up the middle and the Falcons have the guys to do that, it's not a fallacy at all.
So that's the plan. That's the plan.
That's the idea.
Because the idea of this game has been mostly like the Falcons defense is young and like they've had some gaps. But you seem very optimistic on the Falcons defense.
I think their defense is great. Now, it's a very similar defense to Seattle's in Super Bowl 49 because Dan Quinn coached both plays, and I know this is breaking
news. Makes sense.
Patriots run more option routes than any other team in the league, and they run them better than anyone else. And an option route, for those who don't know, is the cornerback goes here, so I go here. And I've seen Patriots playbooks, and it's page after page of option routes and if this, then that. We saw in the second half of Super Bowl 49, Edelman and Amendola, little quick angle routes, and even Sherman couldn't keep up. That's Sherman's kryptonite. You come back on him, and he doesn't know where to go. I saw Green Bay in the touchdowns in the first two touchdowns in the second half were academic because Atlanta led by 400 points. But in each case, it was a quick angle route inside of the end zone. It was Davante Adams and then Jordy Nelson. The third one was a Jared Cook crossover on kind of a rub route, but you're going to see Atlanta's cornerbacks really struggling to – and what happens when you run a quick angle route is the cornerback has to go with you. These guys are young, and they get flat-footed. Right. And I think that's where – which is exactly how the Patriots beat the Seahawks in the second half. They had that short passing game.
It gets much more experienced corners.
Yeah, and that's going to be a problem.
So when to me – I'm curious. I haven't really talked about special. Is there a special team advantage one way or the other? Atlanta?
It's actually pretty decisive.
Okay, what's the main strength then?
Matt Bryant, great kicker. Right. They have Bosher, who's the punter, who's the kickoff specialist. He'll pin you back. Good return guys, really good coverage units. I think everything's pretty much a push, but I think Atlanta has the edge on special teams, and it's actually pretty decisive.
So when you look, I want to, to me, Belichick is such a fascinating just a character across the board. As someone that digs in so much to this, is he like, he would almost seem like a holy grail. Like the thing that's amazing about him is, you know, we talk about all these coaches having these systems and all of these things that like to do this and they like to do this and they like to do this, but Belichick just does whatever works.
Well, when we talk about, I've talked to people like Bill Polian, who says that Moneyball doesn't work in football. And it's funny because Belichick is the ultimate money ball guy.
Right.
He's more money ball than Billy B.
Right.
Because what he says is, okay, I'm going to switch a scheme. Everyone else is doing this. Okay. Which means if you're all in 3-4 right now, then the 240-pound pass rushing ends, oh, they're mine.
Right.
And I can get them in the fifth round instead of the second, and then I save all that money. It's also why when people talk about the greatest quarterbacks of all time, I kind of find it funny at this point because Brady has excelled in, by my last count, five. Now, the play concepts are the same, but the personnel and some of the scheme concepts are completely different.
Like an entirely different look. Like if you were to see that 2001 Patriots team and this team, they would look, other than the uniforms, like
actually,
entirely different teams in the quarterback.
Actually, the early... when it was a little more
so it's come back that direction
when it was a little
bit.
More run heavy.
Right.
This is kind of what it is now.
Right. So
maybe,
so the 17.
You had some okay receivers, at one deep guy, and I mean LeGarrette Blount, 19 touchdowns.
Right.
They run a lot of two back, which they did back then. And LeGarrette Blount, I think that guy's an MVP candidate. Because I think they're going to run. I was just talking to Michael Robinson about this. He agreed. Well, I said I think they're going to run the ball 20 times, and Mike Rob said I don't think 25. So everything from the early sort of run-based balance stuff to the spread things with Moss and Welker in 2007, that was the first offense in NFL history to have over 50% shotgun. And now shotgun's like
of course everywhere, right?
And then the two tight end sets, and of course after what happened to Hernandez, it's sort of become what it is. I grew up believing that Bill Walsh is the finest football mind ever. You know, at this point, you've got to start to wonder.
And to me, that's a fascinating point about Brady, too. The idea that, like, the genius of Brady is not arm strength. It's not even just, like, specifically, like, something as lame as accuracy or something like that. It's the ability to understand all the different things. Like, you know, we hear all the time, quarterbacks struggling under different... There's a new coordinator and all these things they have to do. But in a way, it almost sounds like Belichick has been his own... new coordinator. And like
no,
the offense he throws
he
at the stuff he throws at Brady that he has to absorb is constant. Like there's been like Belichick's been the constant the whole time.
Yeah.
But Belichick has not been constant the whole time.
That's a good way to put it. And all these coordinators they go and become NFL head coaches and they all act like Donald Trump. so that's a problem. With Brady, and especially because they run those option routes in these different schemes, and the sheer level of coordination it takes to be on the same page with any receiver, much less two or three, much less when they're cycling through guys every 2 to 3 years. It's why he has always had a pet. It was Deion Branch, and it was Wes Welker, now it's Edelman. He needs one guy to sort of filter it through to everyone else. It was also why when Chad Ochocinco came to the Patriots, and I remember one play where he went in when he should have gone out, and he got what I call the Brady stare. He never saw
and
another
it was done.
Pass
right.
again. That's the thing about Brady. He's more ruthless than Belichick.
Yeah.
You F up once.
It's over.
It's over.
Well, it's funny, too, because, like, you know, I live in Athens, Georgia, and Malcolm Mitchell is, like, beloved there.
Oh,
he
yeah.
signed a book for my key.
Yeah,
Malcolm Mitchell has a kid's book. He's actually written a kid's book, The Magician's Hat, and he signed it for my child. Malcolm Mitchell is a very... beloved character, and it's funny though because it's when they drafted him, like it felt because the thing that was always great about Mitchell was he was really smart. Like, it was like clearly very smart, very cerebral about the way that he played. Even though he's obviously very talented, it was clear that when you watched him play, that he's got a greater idea of what's going on than everybody else in the field does.
Yeah,
which why it's like when he got drafted to the Patriots, I was like, yep,
of
that
course.
Is exactly
of
where
course.
He would go.
Where that would be wasted in a simpler offense and. New England's offense isn't complicated on its face.
Right.
They have a few things they do really well.
It's not like a massive playbook you have to memorize. It's the stuff on the fly.
And actually, I mean, most playbooks are like that. But when you got up to like the Bill Walsh offenses in 88 and 89 before Montana was out, and it was chaos theory at that point because you had Montana for so long and those guys were just there. Belichick, and I finding the winning edge, the Bill Walsh book, I would so love for Belichick to someday, I hope he does, I hope 5 years after he retires or whatever, he writes it all down and says, this is how I did it. Because as someone who likes to pour into the back room of this, he's got nerds like me, we're lucky to have him because he keeps us on our toes.
It's funny because the thing about that, you know, there's obviously one of the things I've talked about this week was in any other context, just a narrative wise, we always love it when a quarterback goes out on top. And like Elway, that like there was a whole discussion last year. But what's kind of amazing, what I found a fascinating thing about Brady, no one's really asking him that question. No. Like this would be the perfect way for them to both go out.
Yeah.
Like, people forget Belichick is like 64.
Right.
So like he's 10 years older than Noel was when he was last one, and 15 older than Lombardi, and I think like 7 or 8 older than Walsh.
Yeah.
Like he's like, I know people are doing, you know, I mean, we just elected a 70-year-old president. So, I mean, a 7-year-old president.
Yeah.
But,
did we elect him?
Yeah. Sorry. Someone did. Someone kind of did. But, you know, certainly, but you take a step back from it. When we think about like, it's been 2 years since Brady last went to the Super Bowl, which is, and that was just, it just happened. Like, it was just,
right.
Like, it's really.
And there was a 10-year stretch in between.
Right. Like, it's really hard to get to Super Bowls.
Yeah.
To me, like, you know, I mean, I guess my question is this: when you watch him, do you see any physical difference? Like, is his arm not as strong? Is he slower to make decisions? Is he less accurate? Is there anything physical about him different than the Tom Brady of five years ago? And how has he adjusted to it?
His processing speed is insane. His accuracy is everything it ever was. I would say over the last 3 or so years, the one thing, you used to be able to pressure him and he'd cork off a deep one and be in that.
Right.
Now he's, I don't want to overplay this because it makes him sound vulnerable and he's not in this way, but he needs things to be fairly calm in the pocket before he can hit something deep. And
that was not always the case.
No, could you go back to 2007?
Yeah.
He could have bodies all around him.
It don't matter.
He was going to wing something to Randy Moss 50 yards downfield, and Randy was going to run by 2 safeties. There was an element of draw it up in the dirt to that.
Yeah.
So part of it is that he doesn't have Randy Moss, and part of it is that there's a little deep stuff for it to be consistently accurate. I think he needs to throw more with his – I mean, it's the same in baseball.
Right.
Throw from your lower body up. And obviously his mechanics are, for the most part, flawless. But if you rock him off his ideal point, I would say that's the one ding that maybe wasn't there 3 or 4 years ago.
But I mean, that's a ding for the age of the guy at 39.
But if anything, is what I said before, the processing speed is even faster.
Yeah.
So you
see no reason?
No.
Like, why not, right?
And I've talked to coaches and players for years, and if I could have done this for – I would give almost anything outside of my family to be able to do this for one or two more years, especially when they're at the level he is and that team is. I mean, he said he wants to play until he's 45, and I say, why the hell not?
If that's all he's going to go down after 3 years to 39,
yeah.
You can't imagine it's going to be.
No,
the processing is not going to slow.
And it may be a more limited offense when he's 42 or 43, and I think at that point, I think he would know before anyone had to tell him.
Right.
This is not going to be Brett Favre.
Right.
I couldn't make that one throw that I've always made, so I'm done.
Right.
That's all I'll do.
So I guess my one last question on Brady before I get into the actual predictions. I'm fascinated by this idea because you do so much draft stuff and so much like player analysis.
Yeah.
Like when it comes to Brady, like just a fascinating thing about Brady, what did people miss on him? Like if a guy like him came along now, like obviously like the NFL draft was a big thing in 1999 or 2000, but now is a massive thing. Would he be found out quicker now, or do you think the same? Like, would someone be like, you know what, this guy's going to be awesome now? Would they notice that, or I mean, I guess we're talking about Dak Prescott. It's just people not noticing that. Like, people can still miss stuff, but the stuff that Brady has, do they look for that now more because Tom Brady exists?
It's hard. I remember watching Prescott's tape, and I thought, God, he looks slow.
Yeah.
In college. I remember Big Ten Network. I was just flipping channels, and they had an old Purdue game with Breeze on.
Yeah.
And he looked like Charlie Fry. You know,
right.
I interviewed Bill Polian when I was at Sports Illustrated about a year and a half ago, and he swore to me the Colts had a first-round grade on Brady.
I don't buy it.
I don't buy it either. You know, the Brady I've watched in college, I mean, because remember, he was behind Drew Henson.
Right.
Lloyd Carr didn't quite have the whole thing.
Yeah.
So whatever anyone saw, that wasn't there, and a lot of it wasn't there. I've never dinged teams for not doing that in the same way I've, because you go back and watch Russell Wilson's Wisconsin tape, and he's bang on all over the place.
And North Carolina State, I think
I've had
worse,
people tell me that if he was 6'1", he would have gone top five. With Brady, you know, he got in the weight room, he got his mechanics together. So much of his accuracy and his velocity comes from just more muscle and the correct implementation of mechanics. So short answer, you know, everyone, of course, is looking for the next Tom Brady. I don't think – he wasn't Tom Brady when he came in.
Right.
He willed himself and built himself to be Tom Brady.
And had what was clearly a rather instant mind meld with his coach.
Yeah.
And that made all the difference.
Well, and he – I mean, Belichick will – he's the ice cream factory of football information. And if you don't accept it – and, you know, just if you don't open that tap, you're gone. But Brady, you know, hyper-competitive, murderously competitive, insatiable for this game, and always has been. You can look at Glamour Boy. No.
He's a killer.
He will knife you to shreds. And we've seen it over and over and over. You make one mistake, you know, here comes a keto boy, and he's going to kill you. But I think, I mean, the mindset was there. Remember the part in the Brady Six where he's talking about how he had and he broke
right,
down.
Right.
This was after, you know, three Super Bowls, and so it was in there. It had to come out, but I don't think it was there when he was coaching.
All right, so we should. I'm sorry, just kind of tangent. I find Brady and Belichick so fascinating,
and
they just seem like, just particularly from your, like, again, so much gets caught up with them, and so much gets tied up with them, and now there's the Trump aspect to it, and there's all this other stuff going on with them, but like. On the level of like pure football, not just intelligence, but knowledge and adaptability, and like it's brilliance. They're the top of the field.
We've seen Paul Brown, Bill Walsh. You know, there are precedents to Belichick. There really isn't another Tom Brady. There, a guy who has done this, has been this wildly successful in all these different. Because like Peyton Manning, it was 3-1,
right?
And then he went to Denver, and it was 3-1.
They built it around him.
Yeah, they built it. And Kubiak said, oh, I want you to play in the pistol, and after 2 weeks, that didn't happen. Montana, it was more advanced iterations of the West Coast offense over time, and Walsh could add different wings to the Frank Lloyd Wright house because Montana was so good.
But the house already existed.
But with Brady, they just throw the thing out and build a new
house.
There's
a new house every
year. And he's like, okay. Yeah. I've never... Imagine in baseball if after, say, the first 5 years of his career, they went to Randy Johnson and said, okay, the 98-mile-an-hour fastball is gone. All you can throw is your slider. 3 years later, they said, all you can throw is a knuckler. You have to be Tim Wakefield now.
Right.
It's kind of like that. Yeah. And I don't think there's any appropriate comparison in sports to what Brady's done.
All right, so that leads us to this game itself.
Yes.
I probably have to make a prediction.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and put you on the – I've kept too much of your time already. So with all we've talked about, you seem more up on the Falcons defense than most people that I've talked to.
I am.
But you also seem more up on Tom Brady than you are up on anyone else on the planet.
I think it's going to be one of the best Super Bowls of all time.
You're excited, yeah. You think it's
very
locked
very
in.
I predicted the Falcons of Atlanta, close to the
– Athens,
yes. Will Leash. I think it's 31-28 Falcons.
Wow. So that would be an exciting thing. I think that they are very amped in Atlanta, to say the least.
They should be, because it's not just this year. This defense, they got.
You're up on the defense because, you know, you hear a lot that like everyone's healthy with Atlanta right now. Shanahan's leaving. Is this a one time shot? Like the Panthers are going to be good again next year.
Well,
like a lot of things fell right for them this year.
This may be a one shot with the offense,
right?
But Atlanta's defense
is coming and coming and coming.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Farrar, thank you so much
for
chatting with me. I am very excited. I was already very excited for this game. I am now even more excited for this game.
There you go.
So I'm ready to go. So thank you as always. And where can everybody find your stuff and find everything
you get? Bleacher Report, NFL 1000. I just did a 10,000 word article ranking and scouting all the players who are going to play in this game, including the long snappers.
You need a nap.
Yeah, I do. I need a beer, then I need a nap.
Yes.
Fortunately, I can get both today. Right. So. And always a pleasure.
And we can find you on Twitter as well, right?
Yes, BR_DougFerrar. Warning, it gets a little political.
See, I would argue, this is the thing I keep arguing about, we'll finish up with this. I keep arguing that it's not actually political or partisan. It is just a simple observation of all the horrible things that are happening.
Well, you know, we're citizens, so we don't have to stick to sports.
Exactly. All right. Take care. Thanks as always.
Thanks.
And everyone, we'll be back after the game. Give us a review on iTunes, all that sort of business. Music's by the Sundogs. Enjoy the game, everybody.